Recording in progress.
Now you can go.
Terrific. Well, welcome to the October 10th Select Board meeting. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for being here tonight. This is a hybrid meeting that is being recorded, so if there are people watching this at home and you have a question during the meeting, please hit the Q&A button, put your question in, make sure that you announce in the Q&A, put your name and your address for our minutes, and Sean will be watching that, and we will read any questions out loud when we get to those parts. I just want to have each board member introduce themselves to ensure we have a quorum, starting with you.
Jennifer Stacey.
I'm Dottie Fulgenetti.
I'm Craig Barger.
And we have Connor Reed, our town administrator, Sean Dugan, our assistant town administrator, and Elizabeth Hegg, our executive assistant. We are missing Jamie Stebbins, select board member, and Mark Lamb, select board member tonight. They are not able to be here, but we do have a quorum. So we're ready to go. And the first item on the agenda is a reminder of public safety, public works facilities replacement project, key public engagement dates, and voter decision dates. Connor?
Sure. Thank you, Dottie. So it feels strange to say, but this will be your last regular meeting before the October 23rd special town meeting, where voters are going to decide whether or not the public safety and public works facilities replacement project moves forward. So since that project kicked off in earnest back in November of 2021, it's progressed through feasibility and the design process at more than 30 public board meetings until the Municipal Building Committee selected a preferred design and locked that budget in this August. Since August, that proposed project and its budget have been presented at more than 20 board and committee meetings, community events, and civic groups. And we're happy to say that during that time, it's earned the unanimous recommendation of not only this board, but the Finance Committee, the School Committee, the Capital Planning Committee, the Green Communities Committee, and the Municipal Building Committee. It's also been supported by all five labor unions representing the workforces of these departments, which is Easton Firefighters IAFF Local 2790, the Easton Police Supervisors Association, Easton Police Patrol Officers Association, SPIA DPW, and SPIA DPW Water. There's only a handful of informational events left between now and town meeting because it's less than 2 weeks out. But those dates are this Thursday at 9 in the morning at Frothingham Hall. We'll be giving a presentation of the project. There will be a coffee with the chiefs. The chiefs are nice enough to let myself and Director Field join in at 10 a.m. on Monday, October 16th at the Ames Free Library. And then there will be a special town meeting, as I've noted, on October 23rd at 7 o'clock, and the debt exclusion election is November 4th. So we've had a lot, particularly in the past few weeks, a lot of really good turnout, really good feedback. The tours at Police Fire on October 2nd were really well attended. We even had local press show up or regional press show up, which was nice. And we're really appreciative to all the residents who've spent time learning about the project, coming out to these events, asking questions, and getting engaged. For folks who haven't been able to get to any of the events or meetings that we've had, there's a lot of ways to get good information about the project. There's video tours of the facilities and coverage of all these meeting presentations on the website, which is eastonpsw.com, but also running on ECAT channels, Comcast 9 and Verizon 22. ABC 6 Providence filmed the tour and forum on October 2nd. That's available on their website. We know not everyone gets their information online and wants to read detailed reports online, and so we are making sure that there are hard copies available of the feasibility study, the schematic design study, and the financial impact analysis available at the Ames Free Library for folks on loan. If anyone wants to look through those in person, those will be available starting next week. There's also, I don't know how often this is the case for a municipal capital project. We were lucky enough, an Easton resident, Josh Peach, runs a podcast with pretty good traction, and he invited myself, the chiefs, and the director on to talk about the project. So that's the Be Awesome podcast that's available on Spotify and other streaming platforms if folks want to learn about it while they're driving to work. We have a lot of stuff on the town's social media platforms about the project. And then, of course, there's information for voters as far as voter registration deadlines. The ability to vote by mail for the November 4th election at easton.ma.us/vote. So really hope we've been able to get the information out there to folks. Another mailer will be going out. A couple weeks from now, we'll be moving in a hopefully positive direction with the project.
Great. Any comments or questions?
No, it's a very very holistic and you know, hopefully leaving no stone unturned in terms of outreach. So thank you for the very comprehensive update and game plan.
I think that you and the chiefs and David have done a superb job of getting the information out there. I really appreciate that effort.
Thank you.
My interaction with people in the town recently has been very positive. So I'm excited about the possibilities.
I appreciate that. And we've had a lot of really good community groups involved. I'm not saying it's because the Lions are in here, but we'll be going to the Lions Club tomorrow. Yeah. Not a couple days. It's not Monday. Tomorrow night, the Lions were kind enough to host us a year ago. There's other neighborhood groups. The Temple was kind enough to host us, the town's Republican and Democratic committee. So it's been really nice to be able to get out there in some different formats and different places because, you know, not everyone feels comfortable being in a televised board meeting. So being able to go to festivals and concert series, it helps that there's like 15 things going on per day in town, open houses and fun things. So we've had a lot of great opportunities and got to meet a lot of great people. So
I experienced it similar to Craig's too. It went from people being like, I don't know what you're talking about, to, okay, I'm aware, to I support this. So that's been a really nice progression over the past couple weeks.
I think it's just important for people to know that it's so important. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and if we miss this, we're really kicking the can down the road to future generations that are just going to have this, you know, this big challenge on their hands. So we really need, it's not enough to just support it. We need people to come out and vote and come out and ask questions or attend these things. We need a yes vote at town meeting and at the ballot. And sometimes people don't realize that or they don't think about it. So just please mark your calendars for those dates. October 23rd is town meeting at 7:00 at Oliver Ames High School. And November 4th is the election also at Oliver Ames High School. I just want to comment that, you know, this, we've been talking about this for years and really earnestly in like the last 5 years, taking big action with the feasibility study in the last 2 years. And in the last 6 months, you know, the schedule that I've seen for our town employees, you know, Connor, Sean, Elizabeth, the amount of work that you guys have done to try to get this information out and current and as it changes. And like the feasibility study and the fiscal impact analysis, take a look at that. That's amazing work. There's no question that can't be answered in there. But also our department heads, you know, out doing these things at nights and on weekends, it's been a tremendous amount of work. So I really just want to acknowledge that and thank you for it. And hopefully people at home recognize that and see that as well. It's that important that people are willing to put in that amount of time.
It is.
So
we had a great turnout at the NRT. Lots of people coming over to talk to us. So it was very, I thought that was very well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, the Lions Club, I'm sure, will enjoy hearing about it tomorrow night. All right, great. So the next item we have in the packet is the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation may acquire an interest in two parcels of land, 93R and 115R Allen Road in Easton, for conservation and or recreation purposes. So the Commonwealth of Mass, acting through its Department of Conservation and Recreation, has under consideration the acquisition of two parcels, approximately 8 total acres of land in the town of Easton. The property is currently undeveloped and open space and exceptional wetlands. The proposed use for this property will be protected open space and conservation and recreation as part of Borderlands State Park. In our packet, there's a map marked Exhibit A, which shows the property in which the DCR is interested. They've sent us this letter, and they just asked us to read it. We don't get to vote on it. We don't have anything to do with it. This comes through DCR. If anybody is interested or has a question, look in our packet or reach out, and we can give you the contact information for DCR. So all we had to do is acknowledge this and read it into the record tonight for our obligation as part of that project. Next up, we have Let me see, an appointment to the Economic Development Council for an alternate seat, Mark Sterling. Did I miss something?
No, he's joining us remotely, so he's being moved in now, I believe.
Okay, great.
Okay, great.
So while Mark comes in, I just want to read the mission of the Economic Development Council is to promote sustainable economic development for the town of Easton, to collaboratively seek local and regional opportunities for economic growth in order to both generate employment opportunities and tax revenue, to recognize neighborhood and community concerns during the development of economic policy, to leverage existing infrastructure and facilities to the fullest extent possible while addressing weaknesses through collaboration with the public, businesses, and other governments. So we have an open seat. And Mark, thanks for being here tonight. We appreciate you taking the time to come in for a brief interview. We're just going to ask you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about why you're interested in the Economic Development Council. And this will be just a very brief discussion.
Certainly. Well, I actually moved into town in January, purchased a house in January, relocated for work purposes. Been here for several months now. My children go to Oliver Ames High School. They're both sophomores in high school. I'm always interested in being involved in township, in whatever level I can be. In New Jersey, I served a term on the school board. I was on the finance committee. Very big into being involved in the town. My background is internal audit, financial compliance, and enterprise risk management, but I've held various other roles inside of corporations over the years as well. I have a significant business background, not in the municipal space, but in corporate America.
Great. Stephanie, can I ask you, I should have known this before I came in, how often does the board meet now? Is it quarterly or every other month? On a quarterly basis, and it's still on Thursdays during the day?
Yes, mornings at 11 o'clock.
Okay, so the board meets four times a year on Thursdays at 11 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes the during the day part of the meeting can be a challenge for people, so I just wanted to make sure you were aware of that. And they meet for an hour, and it's been by virtual by Zoom.
Yes.
So I think that will probably still be an option. Does that work with you?
Yeah, it's not a problem. I work from home most of the time when I'm not traveling, so I can certainly flex my schedule for an hour.
Okay, great. Any questions, Jen?
No, I think your civic and business background align well with the committee, and I'm always glad to see folks who are new to town step up to volunteer. So thank you.
Yeah,
I noticed that you had applied for a number of different committees, and I was very impressed that you were interested in more than just one activity. One of the nice things about this town is the number of people who do volunteer, and your resume was impressive, and I'm pleased that you decided that you wanted to be on the Economic Development Council.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Yeah, so Easton, we are really striving to attract small business to our community. We feel that small business are really the backbone of a community, and we have the college is a strong partner of ours. So putting together all of our assets with a great education system, great open space, historical buildings, and a great business environment, we think you'll enjoy learning more about that and having a voice on that committee. So thank you for volunteering. So with that, we will take a vote. Craig, would you like to make a motion?
So I move to appoint Mark Sterling to the Economic Development Council, the alternate seat, the term expiration of June 30th, 2026.
Second.
So that's Barger and Stacy, and it's a roll call vote, starting with you, Jen.
Stacy Sterling.
Fulgenetti Sterling.
Barger Sterling.
Congratulations. You are the newest alternate member on the council, and you'll get an email from the town clerk that will give you the information on how to get sworn in before the next meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Next, we have road closure request for the Easton Lions Club, the 37th annual Easton Holiday Festival on December 2nd from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and December 3rd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is a road closure request that we typically get. Come on up, John and Rob. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this. There's a letter in our packet from the Lions Club requesting that the Rockery section of Main Street be closed during the holiday festival on December 2nd from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and December 3rd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. The request has been circulated to Public Safety and Works and the Inspectional Services Department. And we're going to hear a little bit from you about the 37th annual Holiday Festival.
Thank you very much, Dottie. Thank you, Select Board. Appreciate you having us come in and talk a bit about what we do. Rob Goodrich, our current president of the Eastern Lions Club, and I are pretty excited to be here. We look at this as a fun event that we put on for our town. We've been doing it for a number of years. We keep wanting to get better, so we've got some room for improvement. We're going to do some things this year that we're going to go two directions at one time. We're going to go forwards and backwards. The going forwards is trying out a couple of new things. The going backwards is bringing much of the festival back to what it had been in the past couple of years. We had some COVID setbacks and other events that shortened that. It was a truncated event the last couple of years, and boy, we heard from our community. The townspeople asked, what happened to the bouncy houses? What happened to the second day? What happened to some of the other things that were going on? Well, they're back. So we're going to be having an event that is much like our kids grew up enjoying. It kicks off on Friday night, the 1st of December, with a collaborative effort between ourselves and the Oak Saints Memorial Hall. We have hired a band called Dancing of the Divas, and if you're not up and dancing, it's probably because you don't have a pulse. These folks are five ladies who are extraordinary vocalists backed up by a band, and we'll be doing that Friday evening from 7:30 until about 10. And then we start in Saturday noontime with bouncy houses, hay wagon, trackless train, musical entertainment at the hall. The Lions will be out flipping burgers and cooking fries and fried dough in force and be doing that right through the afternoon. Santa Claus is going to be joining us courtesy of our fire departments, ferrying him in for pictures of Santa and the lighting of the rockery taking place right around 5 p.m. And then we roll into an event inside the Oak Saints Memorial Hall, where we've got a band, and I got to tell you, Rob, I can't remember the name of the band, but I think it is Four in a Row.
I believe so as well, yeah.
So we'll be having that event. It is being done, that one in collaboration with the sponsor of that, Dance Express, an event geared more towards kids. And much of this year's activities is geared much towards younger folks in town, because we really think that's the sweet spot of what the Holiday Festival is all about. Roll into Sunday morning, Scouting USA Troop 193 is doing their annual breakfast from 8:30 to 11. If you've not done that in the past, make sure you come hungry. And it's a great bargain and a beautiful event. They get help from Farmer's Daughter and other folks in town to put on just a wonderful event. Our annual parade will start at 12:30. If Jen gives me the permission, it'll start at NRT again this year, and it'll come down Main Street. Every year we've done it, it gets bigger and more exciting. So it is open to anyone and everyone. So we invite folks to look at our website or reach out to Rob or myself if you're interested in being in the parade. But really, it's a simple message of show up at the NRT Sheep Pasture around noontime on Sunday the 3rd and be ready to be in a parade. So that'll end somewhere around 1:15 or 1:30 at the Rockery. And we'll have Santa there again. And then we'll roll into an event inside the Oak Saints Hall, again, one geared towards children. We'll wind that down around 4:30 or so in the afternoon and bring the event to what we hope is a successful close as we wrap up the 37th annual Easton Holiday Festival sponsored by the Lions Club.
That's great. Rob, did you want to add anything? Or
the only thing I'd like to do is just give John a shout out. He's chaired this, I believe, you said 37 years. Oh.
Not me for 37, but darn close.
Yeah, for you over 30.
So feels so like 50, right?
I was five when we started.
But shout out to him for jumping into the breach once again. We want to bring it back to the way it was pre-pandemic, you know, with some of the value-added improvements that we took upon in recent years. So we hope and trust that the community will enjoy this event.
Yeah. And if folks are interested in joining us for the Friday evening event with Dancing with the Divas, tickets are available through our website or the Oak Saints Memorial Hall. And the Saturday night event is a pay at the door, $10 per individual with a cap per family. And again, that's geared towards the young ones.
Well, one other thing I think it's worth mentioning is it takes a lot of people to make this happen. And I know that, you know, I was talking to someone last year that was complaining about that it was only one day. And I said, so what I'm hearing from you is you want to join the Lions Club and you want to help. You don't have to join the Lions Club to help and be a volunteer. So, Rob, you've been in charge of manpower for many years, or people power, and we get a lot of support from the scouts, from the swim teams, from the sport teams. You know, a lot of young people do come and help that day, but a lot of other people that want to volunteer, there's so many people in the community that say, I want to volunteer, but they can't make a commitment to something. This is 2 days. So if you want to volunteer, believe me, it's the most organized event. I remember the first time that I was a Lion and I went, I don't like going to something standing around while they try to figure out what to do. Yeah. I got there, it was like, here's a hairnet and an apron, you're doing fried dough, someone will show you how to do it. That's like right. 2 seconds. So you will be put to use, you won't be standing around, and it's an awful lot of fun. It really is. So I would really put out the shout out for people to just volunteer for a couple of hours, one or two of those days. There's plenty of stuff to do, whatever your talent is. We're going to figure it out and use you. So,
thank you, Dottie. Great segment on that. And we've had some great success in partnering with other organizations within the community to help make this an even bigger and better event. This year, Eastern Women of Today have come in and partnered with us to help put on aspects of this. The library is engaged with this, Queset House, Oaks Ames Memorial Hall. So part of our vision is to make this a far more inclusive event, with bringing in other organizations within this community to make it even bigger and better. So thank you for your suggestion of that. We welcome anyone to come and volunteer. And truly, if it's an hour to help come and set up or clean up or throw on an apron and learn how to cook fried dough, we're glad to have you.
Great. Any comments or questions, Jen?
Just really excited to see you back at this scale. And it's one of my family's favorite events of the year. I have two kind of becoming bigger by the day kids, and they just love it. It's a fun, family-oriented day. So I was really excited to see the date. We didn't have a conflict in our busy calendar. So thank you for all the hard work you put into this. It's fantastic.
Proud to do it.
I'm very excited about seeing it again, because in the past, we had so many kids. Mm-hmm. And when Santa shows up that on the fire truck, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The kids really love it. So kudos to you, John, and to you, Rob.
So one of the things that was a note in the packet is that, hold on a second, that you had asked to put up a banner, somewhere in that area. So we don't vote on that. We're not going to vote on that, but we're going to vote just on the road closure, and administratively they'll make sure, you know.
We'll work it out, provided it's property we have control over. And not, you know, maybe an easement we don't, but we'll be in touch. My office can issue permits for town property, provided we can make sure the weight is appropriate, things like that.
Thank you, Kevin. So, and one of our Alliance members, Henry Narcisian, has taken upon the task of working with Kevin and David to make sure all those points are taken before we come back to the select board to request a review of that.
Sure.
I don't think we would need to review.
We'll need to. We can issue just, that administratively.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll work with you.
I mean, you're always welcome to come back. Yes. You can tell there's a lot of seats available.
No.
All right. Excellent. Well, Craig, if you'd like to make a motion to accept the road closure.
I move to accept the road closure request from the Easton Lions Club, the 37th Annual Easton Holiday Festival on December 2nd, 2023, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., December 3rd, 2023, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Second.
So that's Bodger and Stacy. All in favor?
Absolutely.
Unanimous.
Thank you so much.
And you can mark me down as a volunteer.
We will.
I can't wait.
Look forward to serving you all some fried dough or hot chocolate or something. Come out. We're going to have s'mores and fire pits at the bocce courts. Just love.
Excellent.
Great.
Hoping for great weather. Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Rob.
You folks are in charge of that part.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right. Next, we have a discussion and vote on HCS 2024-03, GALE, Recreational Master Plan.
Sure. So as Deputy Director Pitti and Director Kennedy come up, just to bring the board back up to speed and provide context to this contract. So as the board is aware, over successive town meetings or community meetings, we've engaged in a lot of kind of proactive master planning for the community, housing planning, infrastructure planning, capital improvements. We have heard from folks pretty regularly that they're really interested in seeing the potential to improve or expand Easton's outdoor recreational assets. And I'll be the first to admit I'm not an expert at athletics, so I don't know how many fields is the right number of fields, where they ought to go, things of that nature. And so thanks to some of the creative thinking over at HCS, but also the financial support of a recreation commission who authorized funding a bulk of this project, the Department of Health and Community Service was able to issue an RFP for design services firms to basically lead a master planning process for Easton's outdoor recreational assets. So I'll turn it over to Joe to kind of walk through what that looks like, what this proposal would do, and where it will get us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So this project truly started a little over a year ago where we conducted an internal inventory. It was going to complement a lot of the research and understanding I was trying to do, provide some key data points to speak to what Connor was talking about before. On our end, we've accomplished a lot as an office in the first year and a half that I've been able to be here. Lots of different programming that's been super exciting. But I definitely want to emphasize the importance of parks in the community. They're certainly more than a venue just for programming. The positive impacts that parks have, not just on physical health, but individual and community well-being, it can't be overstated. Additionally, in my opinion, a good park system within a community separates a town that's a nice place to live from a truly vibrant community, and I'm really hoping we can achieve that. The RFP that we're able to put together has a handful of different components that we're hoping that Gail will be able to work with us on. That included a needs assessment, safety and usage assessment, evaluation of access, accessibility, and equity of our parks, provide some financial analysis and cost estimates for potential projects and space efficiencies. It'll involve a comprehensive community engagement task, that'll go across boards, committees, users, and stakeholder groups. Some key deliverables from the projects will include concepts for space, public spaces, specifically outdoors, to maximize the assets and service that we have. A decision matrix, which will provide us with anticipated cost forecasts over 10 years, as well as GIS mapping, providing an overview of recreational land that's in close or not in close proximity to residential areas, identifying who may or may not have immediate access to recreational areas in our community. The parks that would be included in this would include Allies Park, Edwin A. Keach Park and Field, Unionville, the Town Pool, Torrey's Park, Peterson Park, 524 Depot Street, and Old and New Pond. And truthfully, looking through a lot of the things that Easton's put out there in terms of strategic goals, the select board strategic goals, I believe this intersects really well with the recreation objectives from Envision Easton, and then some of the inclusion and welcoming environment goals that the select board's identified in the last few years. And lastly, more than anything, I really hope that this project acts as a springboard to positively impact future generations of Easton residents. With that, Chris, I'm not missing anything. We're really excited about this project, really hoping that it'll be able to inform and make the most of the community.
Yeah, so I mean, really the goal here is to create a process for folks where, a lot of recreation investments make their way to the public through other pre-existing processes like a CPA grant, which is great, and it's amazing that we're a 3% community and we could do that. But this will create a master planning process where people can get engaged on the design level, talk about what's working, what do they have some concerns with, what things do they think we may want to consider doing differently. And it basically put us in a place not dissimilar to doing the Doran Whittier report to get our arms around in a really data-driven way. What are the conditions of our facilities and what do we need to prioritize for the next 10 years? This will give us a informed, professional, and community-driven report that can serve as a foundation of long-term capital improvement planning for these parks, whether that be through CPA investments, grants, or the capital process. So we're excited about it. We're super appreciative of Rec Commission for authorizing funding for most of it as well. So I believe in your packet there's a memo laying out a summary of a lot of what we've touched on. Joe, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. What is a rough time frame if this gets approved that we're looking at?
The conclusion date that we have would be right along our initial anticipated schedule of March 28th of 2024.
Okay.
Jen, any questions?
No, I really, just to comment, I really appreciate the focus on equity when it comes to access and kind of thinking about all members of the community and how they would be able to utilize whatever resource, whatever recreational resources are a result of this process. That's very thoughtful. I appreciate that. And I also think it dovetails well with the efforts that your group has been doing to bring other additional programming to the community. I've taken some of the courses my children have as well, and it's just been really a huge asset. I know they're wildly popular. So I think it, you know, the demand is there. And this is a way of being very thoughtful with our resources and thinking about all pieces together and making the proper investments in the right places. So thank you.
So does this include the athletic fields too, or just the parks?
So it'll be every town-owned, a majority of the town-owned outdoor spaces. It would exclude the facilities at the schools, but it would encompass a lot of the places that we program as a department.
And I think an important part there, too, is we had a good conversation with the schools about that, on whether or not to include, as part of that inventory, the school athletic fields. But because of the relatively new state of repair that those are in compared to a lot of the other assets, and the fact that through Joe's kind of first year work with the department, we did do an internal inventory. What we've agreed to make it fit in a budget with Gail is that we would incorporate by reference basically Joe's in-house work on those fronts, so that it is still a pretty complete picture, but without spending an additional five-figure sum of money to let us know that fields that are 1 or 2 years old or like the playgrounds at Plant James are obviously in good shape.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think it's important that there's a list, and those are included in
there
the list.
Be,
so
yes.
Somebody's looking at it is like, what? They don't have any football fields? You know,
yeah,
like,
correct. So
we don't need to dig into the details the way that we are for the rest of it. But
right. Yes. Yeah, so those will be included by reference. We'll still have a master schedule of all recreational assets, but a lot more of the work, the new work as far as the assessment of the current state of the facilities, their state of repair. You know, one of the things we really want to be thoughtful with is, the folks who use these fields in a lot of ways are a lot smarter than I am about the, capacity of that asset, right? So if they're out there on a weekend and they know that it's always wet, I don't necessarily know that, right? And so are there places where we can spend a smaller amount of money to, maybe do a drainage improvement project and substantially improve the usability of an existing asset versus doing an entirely new build? I'm not saying that that's necessarily that simple, but those are the kinds of things that doing this work on a lot of the town assets will do. I think another really neat thing is incorporating old and new pond. That's part of the, broader planning for Five Corners in that area. You know, as the TIP project moves through, as investments like Swift's Park move through, you end up with more walkability, bike access, the sawmill redevelopment with access to conservation land. Joe has brought a really good perspective on pointing out like these bodies of water are also recreational assets, right? Just because it's not like a town park. If you're driving down 106, any nice day, ton of people out there fishing, yeah. Wanting to make sure that we're using these resources in the pool as well, so.
That's great. Well, like Jen said, the access and equity is really important to me, and I think that something that we heard at town meeting is, some comments from different age groups on where we're focusing our attention. Some of the older people think that we're not necessarily considering their participation in our recreational assets, and, some of the younger people think there's never enough, geared for young people, which they're all right, for everybody's perspective. The other thing, too, is as we are developing different parts of the town and focusing on different areas for economic development, we want to make sure that there's recreational assets, not just, conglomerated in the school vicinity, but in other areas. And also having the GIS map of this is going to be really great because there's different places that I didn't even know about, and I'm sure not everybody in town knows about some of the smaller neighborhood playgrounds. It's important that we are aware of those and looking at how we're maintaining them and keeping them up. And you can't do that if you don't know they're there, right? So the community, I think, has a role in also making sure that we have great recreational assets by pitching in and keeping them clean. And, you know, I've seen some where there's people out there picking up litter after particular sporting games. And, you know, we really need the community to make sure these are really priceless assets of the town, and pitching in to help keep them that way is something I've seen happen before. So if there's no other questions, are we voting on the contract for Gale with the recreational master plan?
That's correct.
So, Craig?
So I move to approve HCS 2024-03 Gale Recreational Master Plan, the amount of $62,065.
Second.
That's Barger and Stacy. All in favor? Unanimous. Excellent.
Thank you
for being here tonight.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
And just on the offside, thank you for all the notices you're putting out for all the things. I feel like sometimes it's just like, how many things are we doing? There's so much for just about any kind of age or opportunity or interest. So you're doing a really great job getting that out there and communicating it.
And there's some serious competition for some of those. Like third or fourth grade field hockey this year was the hot thing.
Yeah.
I was shocked at the number of, driving home, the number of people that showed up and registered for the fishing that he brought in on the dam. It was a fishing class, and there had to have been 30 people up there.
That was 40. We missed out. The instructor was really nice. He let the other 10 in, and he was like, "We cannot do more than 40. I don't have that many poles."
Different things too.
That's a good problem to have, right? Mm-hmm. Have demand. So.
Yep.
But it's, you know, traditionally some people think of recreation as, you know, just stuff out on the fields, but you know, there's just, you said that during your interview, that you're going to bring a lot of different things, and you've done a great job with that. Awesome.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Kristen.
All right, next, discussion and vote on setting of the Select Board 2024 license fees, including the adoption of restaurant wine, malt, and cordial license fee.
Sure, thank you, Dottie. So each fall, the Select Board adopts a fee schedule. This is an issue for the coming calendar year. The attached is proposed by my office. Thank you to Sean for doing some research. We've not had a wine, malt, and cordial fee before, but we received an application for this very recently. It fits within the allowance of wine and malt licenses. They're allowed in town. So we're just including that in the list here to make it clear that it's the same price as a wine and malt. The fees are the same as they have been every year for quite a few years, with the exception of when we temporarily cut them during COVID. We're recommending that they continue at this level, but I just want to make a note that at some point in the next couple of years, we should conduct a review against comparable communities to see where they stand.
Sure.
So,
can you just explain what a wine, malt, and cordials license is? I know you told me, and I still can't.
Sean can.
I asked the ABCC about this, and so some communities opt in and some don't, and the ones that do, it's for liquors like sake or Sambuca, or in some case, I think Fireball whiskey is also considered, and it's based off of the sugar content of the alcohol. And so some communities don't adopt it because it sometimes dilutes the value of an all beverage license, because a lot of those liquors are close enough, and that might be all that they serve, and they don't necessarily need the rest of the liquors to get the all alcohol license. So,
okay.
Not every community has it, and we did a review of the surrounding communities, and all seven surrounding communities, only two of them explicitly called it out, and they were the same fee as a regular wine and malt license.
Okay, excellent. All right, any comments or questions?
No.
I agree, taking a look at the licensing fees in the next couple of years. We do that periodically, yeah, just to make sure that we're competitive or that we're charging enough either way.
Right.
All right, excellent. Craig, do you want to?
So I move that we approve the Select Board 2024 license fees, including adoption of restaurant wine, malt, and cordial license fee as noted in the record.
Second.
Barger and Stacy, all in favor? Unanimous. All right, next, a discussion and vote on the setting of the Select Board 2024 meeting schedule.
Sure, thank you, Dottie. So again, credit to staff, Elizabeth works with you on this, Dottie, every year to pull together a schedule for the year. It's not really as simple as just picking two Mondays a month. We try, although not all religious holidays are state holidays where the office is closed. We try wherever we can to avoid major religious holidays so that folks can watch meetings, participate if they choose. So you have your calendar proposed for next calendar year, including noting where annual town meeting would be, which is May 20th. Going to be once every 3 weeks schedule over the summer, as the board has been doing, and otherwise maintaining pretty regular two meetings per month.
At least. Sometimes we throw in an extra one, but we've been pretty good about that this year. All right, excellent. Do you want us to vote on that?
One thing that I want to bring up was that April 22nd is the first night of Passover, so I might not be able to be there depending on whether we have a Seder or not.
First one you miss?
I'm sorry?
Must be the first meeting you ever miss?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. Yeah, I'm going to try not to, but we'll see what happens.
If you've got to, we've got you covered, Craig. It's okay.
So in that case, that's usually the week of the budget hearings. We end up with multiple meetings that week. We'll take another look and see if there's a way to shift it. But usually that week, we end up with two in that week with the finance committee.
You don't need to do that. I mean, if my wife doesn't have a Seder, then I'll be here. So.
Okay. All right. Would you like to make a motion to approve the meeting schedule?
I move to approve the 2024 Select Board meeting schedule as printed.
Second.
That's Bodger and Stacy. All in favor? Unanimous. Excellent. Next is reviewing the special town meeting, November 13th, the warrant draft, Article 5 for the Ames Free Library roof restoration.
Sure. So in addition to the special town meeting, less than 2 weeks away on October 23rd for the building project, we do have a more regular fall town meeting scheduled for Monday, November 13th. You have a brief draft warrant prepared for your consideration in your packet that's been distributed publicly today, and there's also a hard copy in front of you. It is a relatively brief warrant, as is the case with most fall meetings, about 9 articles for now, and 2 of them are ready for the board's consideration tonight. Both of which Director of Planning and Economic Development, Stephanie Danielson, can speak to, which are Article 5 and 6.
Good evening, everybody. Stephanie Danielson, the Director of Planning and Economic Development. Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm speaking on behalf of the Community Preservation Committee. Article 5 is a request from Ames Free Library for $445,651, which is half of the cost that they're projecting to repair and restore the roof of the library. Over the past many years, they have been doing ongoing repair and maintenance, but the roof is at a point now where it actually needs to be replaced. Over the years, there's been some water damage internal to the library that has occurred, and they're coming to fall town meeting to get ahead of this before winter.
So I just want to clarify that the number that is in here is $485,658. And you're saying that that's half of, they're gonna match that?
Yes.
Okay.
So the application I have in front of me says $445,651.
Yeah, that's what I...
The article.
I heard that, but in this it says 485, so I don't know if that needs to be updated.
They may have increased that with the article.
So we will need to circle back and verify that. We apologize.
Nope, no problem. Any comments or questions?
So this just covers the roof. What about the repairs that need to be done in support of once the roof's fixed? Is that going to be another discussion that comes later? And
the library is planning on coming to CPA in the spring for additional repairs to the library.
So for CPC money, is it still that's only able to be used for the exterior and not the interior? So you could do it for the exterior because it's a roof, but you couldn't do the inside walls or anything, or?
No, I don't think you're limited to doing exterior repairs only under CPA.
Okay.
Because the idea is you're preserving the building.
Okay.
And it's a public building that people would enter. I could get back to that. And I'm sorry, on the amount, I believe the additional cost that's included in the warrant is because they upped their ask. I'm looking at the original. I'm sorry, I brought the original application down. To cover the cost, they were originally considering going with slate in a dark color, but they want to match the rest of the campus with the red.
Okay.
But it's still going to be slate as opposed to what they've been using, which is...
They haven't come to a final determination. It may be terracotta.
Because that's what's on there right now? The clay tile?
Terracotta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So the library plans to come back in the spring. By virtue of the fact this is being funded in the fall, I assume there's some sort of deterioration or something making it a timeliness concern?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And CPA is recommending this?
Yes.
Okay. And has the library provided to the CPA a rough idea of what the total repair budget that they'll be, like, what's the ballpark they're looking for in spring?
I don't have that in front of me.
And again, this is just one half of the total cost for the roof.
Right. They will be matching the ask for CPA funds with their own funds. Okay. Which is something that the CPA encourages, the CPC encourages, and frequently we don't get. So, they get kudos for coming to the town with their own funds as part of the mix.
Well, that building gets so much use, and to not invest in a roof and have any of the materials ruined through damage, water damage, or whatever, would be a real shame. So, and they don't really come to us. I'm trying to think. For CPC money, is this the first time, maybe? Or it hasn't been in a while, anyway.
Sprinkler system in Queset. There were repairs that were funded in the past, but it's been a number of years.
I would say sparingly.
Yes.
Because I think what Queset. The only thing I can remember there was sprinklers, but it sounds like very good use of CPC money.
The fact that it hasn't been restored in more than 50 years, I think that...
Mind-blowing.
I think it's time.
All right, are we looking for just a motion to include or a motion to include and recommend?
Whatever the board is comfortable with, provided the inclusion occurs.
All right. Greg, the
motion is yours. I move to include and recommend this article, the amount of $485,658 for funding to replace and restore the roof at Ames Free Library.
Second.
That's Bodger and Stacy. All in favor? Unanimous. Excellent. And the next item is the Clifford Grant Trail Access Acquisition.
So this project is to acquire, whether through purchase, friendly taking or acquisition, a parcel of land over which the trail at the Clifford Grant management area has been in existence for, the latest information I got is at least for 30 years. It was, I don't know, I'm assuming inadvertently, it passed over land that was not owned by the town. And this would ensure the continuation of the trail as you enter it from the school complex off Lothrop Street.
So to be clear, this is a kind of odd-shaped, I think, section of land that's landlocked in the woods, indistinguishable from the actual conservation land. It's undeveloped. And to Stephanie's point, something that has been being traversed as part of a public trail system for, as far as we could tell, decades.
Yes.
That was only raised to the Conservation Commission's attention recently.
By the landowners.
That there was a portion of a trail overlaying on a private property. So commission's been in discussions with those folks for some time, and this would authorize
the town to just purchase that. And not only is it landlocked and undevelopable, I believe it functionally has to be. There's wetlands, there's no street frontage, it's surrounded by conservation land.
So right, indeed. Right.
It would basically absorb that triangle-shaped piece into the other pre-existing conservation land.
So I don't understand in the question the option. It's I don't know if I'm just not reading this right, because I don't know, but we could either purchase the entire parcel for $37,000 or purchase 511 feet for $230.
The fee, that would be for an easement for the trail only, rather than purchasing the entire parcel. And it would seem to make more sense to purchase the entire parcel.
Why is this set up as like a choice? I can just see people going, why are we going to spend $37,000 if we could do it for $230? Like, what's the difference? I know, I understand what you're saying the difference is, but
right.
Why wouldn't we just go with one or the other in this?
That's a good question. If you're looking at from a dollar and cent standpoint, if you're looking at it from building continuity with other parcels, and I do have, let's see. So if you bear with me for a moment, I have a map that shows the parcel. So it says,
there it is.
Sorry. Okay, so the green area is all the Clifford Grant Conservation Area owned by the town, and that parcel sits landlocked right in the middle of that. So by acquiring that, not only do we get assurance that you know, we have access to the trail system, it also creates a full contiguous land area for that management area. And
is it accurate to say it ensures its conservation as well, right? If we purchase just the easement, it's only for the trail, but there's no conservation restriction on the prop vote.
Correct.
The rest of the property,
correct,
which is wooded.
Right.
Which
right.
Is part of
you have the town
points.
Doesn't have control over the rest of the
right.
parcel.
Okay.
And at $37,000, that well, again, it's a big difference from the cost of the fee. It's not to acquire land that would give you that continuity.
Stephanie, could you clarify? Was this the Conservation Commission reviewed this already? Is that correct?
Yes.
And their preference is purchase for a parcel.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
In my opinion, we should just make that clearer in a warrant, right? Because the Conservation Commission's been working on this for a very long time and has spent the time to be out there and be thoughtful with the property owners. And if it's their position, and this is just my recommendation, but if it's the position of Conservation Commission, who would be the jurisdiction or would have a jurisdictional authority over it, that it is of more value to incorporate all of that with a permanent conservation restriction rather than just have a trail easement where the rest of the property could presumably have trees cut down or whatever, then we should make
yeah.
that more clear.
I don't like the way it's worded that it says, you know, it's an either or, because if you're saying you're going to get the same results of being able to walk the trails, whether we spend $37,000 or $250.
We can amend the article.
Well, the article is actually fine. It's the explanation that we need to
yeah.
clean up.
Okay.
The article does not give either, so which, to Dottie's point, only adds to the confusion. The article,
yep.
the actual article language, which the motion would be based off of, is very clear. To acquire by purchase, gift, or eminent domain for X amount of dollars
right.
for conservation purposes.
Doesn't mention
it's
the
explanation
yeah.
that's
that needs to be
muddled.
Changed.
So we'll
yeah.
fix that.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And
I was...
also, it doesn't say it was submitted by CONCOM, so we'll get it cleaned up.
So I would. So should we just vote to include and wait until it gets reworded, or can we vote to include and recommend
okay.
with the understanding that it's going to get reworded?
Again, that's up to whatever the board's comfort level is, but I feel pretty confident based on your feedback that I know how you would like that to be
okay.
addressed to be, you know, to have continuity between the explanation, the article language, and what the Conservation Commission has actually voted
okay.
as far as the article.
Yeah, well, it is a striking that last war part, so.
Yeah, that doesn't, yeah, okay. Just out of curiosity, do we know how we missed that piece of property? I mean, how that all of a sudden is...
I wasn't here 30 years. I think people probably started walking from the schools into the woods. There may have been trails that were there that pre-existed. You have, so again, over here, because this all extends out to Bay Road.
Yeah.
And up over in this direction is Militia Park. And there were trails, so they may have started, the trail system may have actually started from Lincoln Street, from Militia Park, and extended, and then once the school complex started to get built, people found a way to walk through. It is the upland area. There are wetlands to the north, an extensive wetland system, which precludes moving the trail,
yeah,
so that it is on town property. So I think it was just... opportunity.
All right. Craig, you want
to
make a motion?
So I move to include and recommend Article 6.
Second.
That's Bodger and Stacy. All in favor? Unanimous. Excellent. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
And Stephanie, do you want to just do a quick shout out for tomorrow night?
Have a meeting. Thank you very much. So tomorrow evening, I think we're competing a little bit with the Lions Club. So I still would like to encourage everybody. We are holding the first formal public information session. The Planning Board is hosting for the MBTA multifamily by right zoning that is being considered by the town as part of complying with Section 3A of Chapter 40A. The zoning law, which was passed by the legislature in 2020 as part of the Economic Development Bond Bill.
And where is that going to be?
It is going to be via Zoom, and the link is available on the agenda on the town calendar. The meeting is posted.
We get a lot of questions about housing and a lot of questions about MBTA communities specifically, and I see a lot of stuff on social media. I hope people will take the time to watch it live and ask their questions through the Q&A or however you're going to be setting that up. But if people can't do that, please let's try to post it on social media or something to a link to watch it afterwards. And even if you can't make it to the original session, send us your questions and, you know, letters of support or comments or whatever, because it's really important that we know that. There's a lot of misinformation about what this is, and we want to make sure that we're getting a lot of community input in it.
And we will be holding three other public outreach sessions. We'll have the schedule finalized tomorrow and announce that at the meeting. We also have a web page that we put together. If you go to the Planning Board's page, there's a link to the MBTA Communities page. We have information about what the requirement is for the zoning. We have links to what the Planning Board is considering at this moment in time for the districts, as well as the draft of the actual language that would go into the zoning and an action plan timeline.
Awesome. All right, thank you.
What time is the meeting tomorrow night again?
Good question. It is at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And the easiest way to see the agenda for that meeting or any other meeting is to go on the town's website. On the front page, there's a calendar. Click on the day, and to the side of it, you're going to see what the meetings are for that day. If you click on that, you'll see the agenda for that particular meeting. So that's the fastest way to find it. And if you really care or you're passionate about any one of the committees in particular, you can go into Documents on Demand, and at the top of the page of the link, you're going to see that you can sign up for email notifications. You can click any board or committee or as many as you want and ask to be notified if there's a new agenda or if there's new minutes, or there's a whole series of things you can ask for. So that's a lot of people take advantage of that, and just want to let people know about that. All right. The next, we have the acceptance of minutes for September 26th, 2023.
So moved, Bodger.
Second.
That's Bodger and Stacy. All in favor? Unanimous. Approval only, but not to release, of executive session minutes, September 26th, 2023.
So moved, Bodger.
Second.
That's Bodger and Stacy. All in favor? Unanimous. Town administrator notes?
I have none, thank you.
Select board notes?
Craig already spoke to it, but the NRT festival, we had a fantastic turnout, really encouraging conversation with members of the community. And it was a beautiful day. We were marveling at the weather and how much better it was this year than last year. So great effort by the organizers. The turnout was tremendous. And the feedback I heard from my kids was that it was an awesome, awesome day. So
that's great.
I thought it was very helpful that we had the chiefs there. David Field was there. And we had the architect and the poster boards, which was very helpful for people to be able to visualize as we talked to them. Yeah. About this.
Some people stopped for quite a while.
I know they
really
did.
Absorbed yeah, in yeah, conversations. Yeah, so it was yeah. Really great.
Having the CERT team there with candy and swag.
Oh, yeah.
That was... always, always helps.
Yeah, note to self. Yeah. Make sure our booth is always next to the CERT team. Yes. All right, excellent. Well, if there's nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Bodger.
Second.
That's Stacey. Bodger and Stacy. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Thanks, Joe from ECAT. We'll see you next time.